I'm Duncan MacLeod.
And I'm Craig Wilson.
This is episode 80 of Talk Central for Friday, 8th of March, 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
This week on Talk Central, we discuss the week's three biggest technology news stories, from websites priced like yachts to brands with identity crises.
We also pick our winner and loser of the week, and Duncan and I will choose our favorite product or app of the week.
We'll be back right after these messages.
Hi, I just got your message to meet Mr. Mignogna for my performance appraisal.
Oh, that was 2 weeks ago.
What?
Yeah, you were let go.
Oh, no, please. Oh. Don't get ambushed. Call for backup. Get Hosted Exchange from Vox Telecom, your off-site hosted email solution. Share calendars, contacts, task lists, and public folders, and archive all mail for half the price of an on-site server. Hosted Exchange from Vox Telecom. Backup for your business. SMS 31965, and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Freistaat,
yes. Yes, all over the news this week, isn't it?
Yes, tenders and possible corruption.
Yes, unfortunately not for sporting prowess or other things to celebrate, but rather an example of exactly what we don't want to see from government, and especially in the tech sector.
Yeah, a website or series of websites that cost anywhere between 40 and 140 million rand, depending on how you crunch the numbers.
Indeed, and unfortunately, of course, the department's being terribly quiet and not doing anything to help figure out which of those figures it actually is.
Yeah, so in case you've been under a rock and missed the big story this week, because Sowetan broke the story on Monday morning. Their figure was 140 million rand for this integrated Free State website. A bit of prodding and digging, and it transpired that the website was actually designed using WordPress, the free open source custom content management system, and based on a $40 theme.
Indeed, made by a company called Theme Forest, I think it was.
That's right.
And what you've got either way is, it looks like some of the figures we have seen are the analyst Arthur Goldstuck did a sort of breakdown of the tender document that he managed to get hold of, and it looks like the official figure was around 30 to 35 million a year for 3 years, which was the length of the contract. So either way, we're looking at about 100 million, which really for any website is just absolutely ludicrous.
Yeah, sure. Maybe if you're developing a transactional banking website for a major international bank,
or perhaps for the American Federal Reserve,
we could be talking numbers like that. I mean, but and then even then, probably not that much money.
Indeed, some of the figures we've seen thrown around for other sites, for example, the presidency site, which does have rather a lot more to it.
Yeah, that was from Arthur as well.
Indeed, that was, I think, a 4-year contract, and that was a quarter of a million. So, anything that approaches 100 million is just absolutely insane. What we've seen too, of course, is an enormous backlash from developers saying, well, this is just absolute rubbish, and give it to me. I've seen one of the common messages has been, I'll do it for 2% of the price. And do a much better job. The worst thing about it too is just how poor a website it actually is.
It's terrible. And I'm guessing that what percentage of the Free State population, how many people actually live in the Free State
versus how many are online,
how many are online are actually going to be accessing government Free State provincial online services, or trying to look up information on this integrated website.
It just comes across as
a monumental waste of money.
It does, and the website itself is bland and tech heavy, and if it had enormous interactive aspects, or you could communicate with people in the premier's office, or there was some sort of two-way communication, but it's not. It's really just a government brochure that's been wrapped in a WordPress site and had an enormous, enormous price tag fixed to it.
Yeah, it's a sort of thing that shouldn't cost more than 10, 20, 30,000 rand at the most. Anyway, Craig, you did a lot of digging around this, and it transpires that the all the companies involved in the joint venture which won this business from the Free State provincial government are all linked back to a chap called Tumi Insele.
That's right, one businessman.
And who runs a website, or runs a newspaper in Bloemfontein called The Weekly, which the DA says is basically just
a government mouthpiece. Yes,
a mouthpiece for the ANC and for the Premier, Ace Mageshule.
Yeah, indeed. You can tell there's a lot of digging still to be done on this, yeah. And there's a great number of stories to come out of it. But one can only hope that that heads will roll, because frankly, they need to. It's amazing too that
there needs to be a proper investigation.
That people think that this could actually be gotten away with, and that no one would notice.
I mean, there needs to be a proper investigation here, whether there was overt corruption or whether it was just utter stupidity by the provincial government that spent this much money on a website or even a series of websites.
It's difficult to decide which is worse, really, corruption or incompetence. Yeah.
Well,
but either way,
I think it's
corruption, right?
No. Yes, corruption is very definitely worse than incompetence. There needs to be an investigation here. I think the Auditor General, at the very least, needs to look into this, and hopefully this serves as an example to other provincial governments and other arms of government all around the country. Get multiple quotes. Don't just assume that because it's technology and you don't understand it, that it's expensive.
And don't assume that just because it's technology and you don't understand it, no one else does.
Exactly. developing a website of the sort that the Free State has is not an expensive exercise.
Or a difficult one, right? No. Even those of us with very limited sort of web skills.
Anyone could do this. Install WordPress, which is a point-and-click operation these days. Installing a theme, you can do it automatically in the WordPress backend. Perhaps you have to do a little bit of tweaking around the database and the server, but
really anyone who can operate a mouse and use a keyboard could figure it out in a couple of hours.
WordPress. Exactly.
Anyway, it's laughable and unfortunately of the wrong sort. It's tragicomic, not just comic.
Now, of course, there obviously are additional costs associated with populating with content and that sort of thing, but still running nowhere near to the sort of numbers that we're looking at here.
No, indeed.
Someone has profited
very, very, very well. Yes.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. ATA, or are they? Or yes, well, they are, and then they aren't, and now they are again.
Listen, and this is much like the Free State one. You know, the immediate thing is to have a knee-jerk reaction and just go, "Well, this is just a sort of an error on ATA's part, and they've sort of got mud on their face." But I think, in context, what happened was there was an internal document that made the light of day that suggested. It included notes from Telkom Mobile MD Attila Vitai saying that the ATA brand was to be gradually phased out in favour of Telkom Mobile. And of course we had a lot of reactions.
And there was a press release that followed this. It's the same thing, by the way.
Indeed, there was. Yeah. But the press release, at least it was vaguely suggested to me this week, was in part prompted by the leaked letter. I saw Mr. Vitai at an ATA event earlier this week announcing that they were sponsoring the Premier Soccer League, which of course suggests that they didn't plan to get rid of the name, because one doesn't enter a five-year sponsorship on a whim. It's a five-year sponsorship, the value of which they won't disclose.
And that sponsorship is specifically for the ATA brand, is it?
Exactly, and that is absolutely wrapped in ATA's fuchsia and very, very much an ATA push. So the suggestion he made was that the note that began this whole saga was to some extent taken out of context, insofar as it was part of a larger body of internal communications, and this was perhaps one of the strategic moves that ATA was considering.
Right.
What's been interesting is the response from the analysts, of course. Some people have said, well, this is a great idea because ATA was a terrible name to start with, and a terrible brand. And others, of course, have said, well, actually, ATA was a good move because the very last thing you want is to have any associations with Telkom, which, of course, for many South Africans, still leaves a bad taste in the mouth.
But does Telkom have a bad name in that mass market they were going after? Because, I mean, those consumers have never really experienced Telkom.
Indeed, because they've never had to try and get a fixed line or wait.
And you look at brand surveys, like the Sunday Times runs an annual brand survey, and I stand to be corrected here, but I certainly do recall in the past, I don't know about the most recent surveys, but certainly in the past, the Telkom brand seems to be fairly well perceived amongst South Africans broadly.
Mm. And I think, anecdotally, obviously, but in my experience from people I've spoken to, it's certainly improved. I found that people getting new lines installed or getting lines upgraded or faults reported and repaired, it certainly seems like there's been improvements. You know, 5 years ago this was a running joke about how bad Telkom was.
I mean, Telkom's base is small for fixed line, especially for broadband.
Absolutely,
and
it's tiny.
I think a lot of the hatred towards the company comes from that small base, and a lot of it may even be historical, because I think that under Pinky Moholi, Telkom has made good progress in customer service. But it does raise the question, should they have gone to market with the brand ATA, given the brand equity around Telkom?
Indeed. They've, of course, claimed that ATA has been quite successful with the youth market.
Sure, but they've spent a lot of money getting their brand out there.
Indeed, indeed. And you know, personally, my first, my initial feeling when they mentioned canning it was that this was a terrible idea. It was like an enormous amount of expenditure on marketing and building brand awareness down the drain. But the suggestion now, and again, I was told by Tilavatar that this is perhaps oversimplifying things, but the suggestion seems to be that Ata will now refer to the sort of consumer aspects of Telkom's mobile business, while Telkom Mobile will be used for the business side of it. But that's generally been the case from the get-go anyway.
It sounds like a confused message. I get the impression from everything that's come out of this now and all the statements that have been made is that Telkom doesn't really have a brand strategy around this.
No, indeed. As someone said to me this week, it's the left hand not talking to the left hand, which I quite liked.
You've got confusion out here. What is it? Is the consumer brand Ata or is it Telkom Mobile? In fact, there's more confusion now. We don't know whether. Are they going to call it Telkom Mobile when they're pitching it to fixed line customers, or are they going to only call it Ata when they're going after the prepaid market? We don't actually know what the strategy is.
Regardless, I think this is all really distraction from what Telkom should be doing, and that is getting converged offerings out to market now.
Yes,
on both consumer and business side. I know they have rolled out some business offerings, but you know, really, Telkom's greatest advantage in a very saturated mobile market is to go, here's your fixed line, here's your mobile, here's one invoice, and we'll email it to you. Off we go. And I think the sooner Telkom gets going
into that high income, that higher spend, higher ARPU category, because does this company really want to be fighting at the low end where the churn is high, where the margins are low?
Sure, you don't want to be in a mature scrapping market over the R5 airtime buyers.
You want to be getting into that market where they're high ARPU spenders. The guys are spending R1,000 a month on their broadband fixed line connection and their fixed telephone.
And R1,000 with another operator on their mobile. And another 1,000 or more
on Vodacom or MTN. Surely they should be targeting that market.
Absolutely.
They don't seem to be doing that aggressively. They're going after the business market, and Brian Armstrong and his team is pushing heavily into that space in terms of locking corporate deals, but it's in that sort of high spending, high end consumer market where MTN and Vodacom make a lot of their cash, that then they don't seem to be really pushing hard.
No, indeed. And what we need is a very clear and unambiguous message about how they're going to attract those customers.
Yes, I mean, I should be getting in my Telkom bill each month that I get in the post, I should open it up and there should be a thing saying, here, get the new Galaxy S3 or get the new iPhone 5 and this is why you should get it. You can port your number and we'll sort all that out for you. This is going to be your extra low call rate. We're going to throw in all this mobile data you can use on the road. You can get access to these Wi-Fi hotspots, etc. It's those sort of bundles they need to be building, which we're not really seeing at the moment.
No, indeed.
Anyway, we'll keep an eye on Telkom and Ata and how this brand strategy plays out, but it's all rather confusing in my mind right now.
Absolutely. Hopefully we'll get a little bit of clarity from them and some new packages in coming weeks.
Sure. Good. Dina Pule is still the Minister of Communications another week later, although I think it's getting more tenuous as the weeks go on and as the Sunday Times breaks more stories about her.
Indeed, and of course that was how the week began, with the big news being Sunday Times' story last Sunday talking about
Nagravision and Centec and allegations that her boyfriend may have benefited through her decision to grant the
conditional access, or to
hand over the management of conditional access system to Centec, whose technical partner is Nagravision, whose local partner happens to be a company that has dealings or has business relationships with the minister's alleged boyfriend. So interesting developments. The minister spokesman responded in quite some detail to those allegations, which we've published in full on the site if you haven't seen them yet,
but did unfortunately avoid talking about some of them.
Yes, the statement did largely actually ignore the central allegations made by the Sunday Times,
as good statements of that sort do.
yes, I think Pule does have quite good spin doctors, but it's almost become an untenable situation. There's just so many allegations surrounding this minister and so many question marks over I need to phrase this carefully. There's a lot of allegations involving her, involving this alleged boyfriend. It raises all sorts of questions. There are a number of investigations on the go, as you know.
Concerning more than one event, too. Aside from the Nagravision, there's the ICT and DABA.
Parliament's Ethics Committee is looking into that. The Public Protector is expected to report on her investigation by the end of this month. And now we have this this new development involving Sentech. Of course, we know what happened with the Sentech case. The ETV took it to court because they objected to the award to Sentech, and the High Court found in favor of Sentech and actually declared Poulet's decision to hand the business to Sentech unlawful.
Of course, Poulet then said she was going to appeal the decision, and then subsequent discussions with ETV made the pleasing decision, from our viewpoint at least, I think, to back down and not to appeal the decision.
Well, it's pleasing because it would have delayed...
Indeed, yeah.
It would have delayed migration by years, potentially, if it had to go to the appeal court. And that would be just massively damaging.
Of course, the tragic thing with all of this is that, again, what we're seeing is on many fronts, we're just not seeing any movement.
Yes.
There's just delays on too many fronts. Yeah. And, you know, that 2015 ITU deadline to switch off analog signals is looming.
Yeah.
And the chances of our meeting it get slimmer and slimmer every day that there's no progress on this front.
And it's not even the deadline that's the tragedy here. The tragedy is that we're not handing the spectrum to broadband operators.
Absolutely.
And we're not bridging the digital divide. And it's this government's stated objective to uplift the poor.
And to achieve universal access by 2020.
Exactly.
Which is...
It's a cornerstone of this government's stated policy is to get the country connected. Yet, these constant delays in migration to digital, which are largely the fault of the government of the day, is achieving exactly the opposite. We're not getting the connectivity we want and what the government wants to achieve because of government bungling.
Absolutely. And aside from the sooner it being rolled out, the sooner, you know, access becomes more ubiquitous, but the sooner this sort of thing is rolled out, the sooner prices fall. You know,
yes.
We've seen repeatedly, the more access there is, the cheaper things get.
Absolutely.
And all of these delays just hamper this. And, you know, as we know too, it's impossible to go to an ICT presentation these days without hearing that figure about a boost in broadband penetration, boost in GDP.
Sure.
It's the most bandied about figure. And, you know, there's a very, very direct and well-proven correlation between connectivity and GDP. It's in everybody's interest, and certainly in the government's interest, to just fast-track this process.
Absolutely. What worries me is that we've spent 8 or 9 years now going through this digital migration process. We still haven't switched off. We haven't even switched on commercial digital services yet, and we haven't even got to the stage of deciding which broadband companies are going to get the access to the spectrum. Can you imagine what a bun fight that's going to be?
Indeed, and how long that's going to take.
If we can't even get the digital migration thing kickstarted, how on earth are we going to go through this process as a massive bun fight of who's going to get access to spectrum?
Sure,
it's very worrying indeed.
It is.
Anyway, moving right along, we've got a fourth story. We don't usually cover four stories in the podcast, but we've got a quick one we want to touch on because I think it's a big story that's come out this week from the MTN results, and that was an interview I had with Coral Pienaar, the managing director of MTN South Africa, and he spoke about MTN's plans to get into the content game, the over-the-top game, and specifically we spoke a bit about IPTV, Internet Protocol Television, and he said that's an area they're definitely keen to get into, and I think he hinted that it would be a focus of theirs, and not only on wireless but also on fixed lines, fiber connections, and also across their LTE network. What prompted me to talk to him about it was there was a demonstration happening at the results of a video being streamed over their LTE network. Specifically, they were demoing Apple TV from a US account, as well as Netflix, both being broadcast in high definition over their LTE system. So I asked him about it, and it was quite interesting. Talking to some of the techies who were demoing the system, it appears that what they're looking at doing, and it makes sense, assuming their network can cope with the volume of traffic that will flow over it, is they're looking to zero rate the data. So if you purchase a movie from MTN,
right, you pay for the content, not the delivery thereof.
So you won't use the data. And it's the only way to do it. Otherwise, it's not going to take off. People are going to worry that they're consuming too much data.
Absolutely.
But interesting that they're getting into the space.
And interesting, too, that they've suggested, at least tentatively, that they hope to have this up by the end of the year.
By the end of this year, yeah.
And I think what's interesting, too, is just that this sort of content space is the way where I think we're going to see a lot of competition in years ahead. You know, as costs of connectivity drop and the sort of differentiation between the operators become nominal, where they're really going to have to compete is in exactly these sorts of over-the-top services.
Well, these operators are absolutely terrified of becoming dumb pipes, and that companies like Google and Microsoft and Apple are going to turn them into dumb pipes, and it's those big international media companies that are going to profit off their networks.
And this fear certainly isn't unfounded. I mean, I can see plenty of instances of it going this way already.
Yeah. And I've spoken to a few international telco operators over the years who said these operators should just grin and bear it and learn to become dumb pipes and learn to love to be dumb pipes because that's what the business that they're in. But these guys are growing up on good margins, and they want those good margins and good times to continue.
Indeed.
The interesting thing is, this is going to pitch them directly against an entrenched and very strong and very well-run operator in the space, and that's MultiChoice in the South African context, and it's going to pitch them directly against the likes of Google and Apple.
Sure, and of course, particularly in the case of MultiChoice, you know, you're looking at, I think the last figure I saw was something around 6 million subscribers versus under 1 million fixed lines in service.
Yeah,
you know, they've certainly got a big head start when it comes to content delivery too.
Oh, yeah, MultiChoice dominates.
South Africans are very used to the idea of paying for satellite, which is interesting because, you know, of course, that same sort of fee, particularly for the higher end packages, could very easily cover an equivalent data connection.
Yes.
But that's not the way we've been brought up, and it's going to take quite a lot of effort for people to change mindsets about that, I think. And this is certainly where MultiChoice has a massive head start and a massive advantage.
I think at the top end of the market, at the wealthy end of the market, LSM 10, maybe LSM 9, you're going to see people keeping their DSTV subscriptions and paying for these as well.
Sure.
It's going to be interesting in the sort of lower down LSMs, perhaps LSM 6, 7, 8, where the real battle is going to happen, where some customers are going to decide to move away from pay TV and rather get a broadband connection and access to subscription or streaming type services.
Sure, and especially if brands can sort of market these the right way, and if they can sell it as a, not only do you get content, but imagine the possibilities of a home internet connection that's high speed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's going to be an interesting space. I think it's just getting warmed up there, and it's going to be an interesting battle. And as I say, DSTV is very well entrenched there. They know what they're doing, and they're gonna fight hard to whoever comes into the market.
Absolutely. So,
whoever does come in and challenge them, they're going to have to be pretty
savvy, and they're going to have to have a really, really strong,
to know what they're doing.
Really, really well thought out proposition.
Yeah, for sure. Good. Moving right along. Craig, winner and loser time. Who's our winner this week?
Well, I think, you know, as we said, it's going to have to be a winner in inverted commas. I think our winner this week has got to be Tumi Nsele and Cherry Online for getting away with what has to be the best per hour rate for any web development ever in South Africa. It's just off the charts. Whatever the figure is, we're looking at about 100 million for the Free State website. It's just phenomenal. All the more impressive given that none of the companies behind it seem to have any real web presences themselves.
Yes, indeed. Tumi Nsele, our winner in inverted commas of the week. And our loser is related. It is the Free State Director General, Elzebi Rockman.
And that is because Ms. Rockman is the one, at least reports currently have it, who signed off on the 3-year contract for the new website. And
how do you do that?
Indeed. So unfortunately, that makes Ms. Rockman our undisputed loser this week.
Undisputed. And our last feature of the week, of course, is our Apple product of the week. Craig, you've got an app. What do you have?
I do. My app this week is very practical, and it's a app from TripAdvisor. You may know them from the website of the same name. They do a lot of information about travel and different destinations, and I found their app this week. I've used their basic TripAdvisor app before, but they've got another one out called TripAdvisor City Guides, and as the name suggests, it's a selection of guides for individual cities, mostly North American, European, and Asian, not very much on the African front. But they offer city guides that include maps, points of interest, listings for things like restaurants and bars and this sort of thing. But what I like about it most is that it allows you to download individual city guides for free and store them offline. So you can keep a map of an entire city on your handset without actually having to have data. And this is particularly appealing when you've just landed somewhere and you haven't necessarily had a chance to get a local SIM card, or you're only there for a few days and you don't plan to. So as you know, I'm off to New York next week, and so I've downloaded the 200 odd meg guide to New York, which includes all the offline maps and so on, and I look forward to using them to help get me around.
Great stuff. Yeah, just computer coincidentally, I also have a travel app this week. It's called GoGoBot. It's pretty cool. I haven't played around with it extensively yet, but it seems pretty detailed. It's even got quite a bit of detail on Johannesburg, although the real detail comes if you go to a European or North American destination. So, Craig, you may want to check it out when you're in New York next week. It uses the GPS on your phone, so it knows exactly where you are, and you can see what's going on right around you. So what attractions you can see, what museums, whatever, restaurants, hotels are in your immediate vicinity, whatever you're looking for, and you just click on it and you can check in, and it's got a Foursquare type functionality as well. It does all sorts of things. I see it's got a postcard button as well, so you can take a picture. I haven't played around with that yet. I've literally just installed this morning and been running around all day. But GoGoBot, if you're traveling, next time you're traveling, check it out and let us know what you think of it. But from what I've seen so far, it looks pretty cool. It's got a social aspect to it as well, so you can share stuff with your friends and other stuff like that.
Fantastic. I will download it and have a look. And of course, on that note, unfortunately, we will not be podcasting for the next 2 weeks because I will not be in town.
You're going to be jet-setting.
No, so we'll only be back at the end of the month. That's right. I'm off to New York for the launch of the Samsung Galaxy S4 and a little bit of holiday thereafter.
Yeah, the S4, I'm really looking forward to seeing what that product looks like, especially in light of the HTC One launch a couple of weeks ago. I had a chance last week to play around with the HTC One just briefly from one of the local HTC executives, and I can tell you, Craig, it is a stunning phone.
Absolutely, and I can't wait to look at the two and put them head to head.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. So look out for Craig's coverage from New York next week. We'll be bringing you in-depth South African coverage from of a global event, South African angle on a global event. Where is it happening? It's Times Square, you
said. It's happening at Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, just next to the Empire State.
Okay, great stuff. And you're going to be taking some time out in New York. Sorry, frog in the throat. And we'll see you again in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I'm now going to go and play Sim City.
Yes, which of course came out here today abroad yesterday.
So that's probably my weekend pretty much taken care of. I almost forgot. I meant to mention when we were doing the app of the week that my pick of last week, Nike Plus Running for Android,
has finally been updated, hasn't it?
Complaining last week that it didn't have some of the functionality of the iOS version. It now does.
Well, you see, your complaints clearly have clout.
Yes. Great. Well, we'll be back in 3 weeks. As always, if you've got any feedback on the show, you can mail us at info@techcentral.co.za. Until next time, from Craig and myself, cheers. We'll be right back.